Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Charles and Kathy, and we're going to call you Chuck. Chris Meyer, and we're talking about what I feel is probably the most important topic that I ever talk about, because marriage representing that great love that God has for us and the metaphor of it, and then the satanic attacks that are on it. I think that what you have to give really helps fortify the home. And so we're just going to dig right in. The book you wrote, Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. And you can go to our listeners' website, saveus.org, and learn more right while you're listening to us. So you say God chose to perform the first marriage in the garden. Do you see any significance in that?
Well, absolutely, because that was the beginning. The beginning was the beginning right there in Genesis chapter 2. And when God wanted to set the stage for all of humanity and history, he did so with a marriage in the garden. And where do we like to have marriages? Well, oftentimes in gardens, don't we?
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, the very first thing that happened after the marriage was performed, Genesis chapter 3 says, then the serpent. And so it was not until a man and a woman came together as husband and wife with the Holy Spirit, a holy trinity there, that Satan found his edge and began to attack. So the attack that we're experiencing today isn't new, but it's being accelerated. And Kathy would say, sweetheart, that this matter of the marriage in the garden is unique and special, because what happens in a garden, what happens if you don't care for it?
Yes, a great metaphor.
That's right. When we were first married, we had a beautiful garden. It was full of color and joy. And then after 7 years, I thought that we were going to be happily married. And we didn't understand that we had to work on it. Like a garden, you have to feed it and tend it and clip away the dead that happens, or the bugs that come in and eat the leaves.
And even water it.
And water it. And we had to learn that it didn't just happen. And so we were both in school, and he was going to law school. I was in college, and I went to him one day and I said, I don't have any feelings for you anymore, and it scares me.
You know what she really said? She said, yeah, let me put it in the way I heard it. Sweetheart, I don't have any more feelings for you, and it scares me. Well, that scared me too, Rose. It scared me too.
Divorce was never an option for us the way we were raised, and I knew I couldn't live like this, and something had to happen, and something did. We got into God's Word separately, just seeking His face, and as we were in His Word, it was about maybe a year and a half later, and I looked at him, and I said, it was this dawning. You're my best friend. And we didn't even try to work on our marriage. But as we grow closer to the Lord, then we become that threefold cord. And we had separated it.
Actually, what happened was God began to do from the inside out what I had tried to do from the outside in for a long time. And everything began to change.
There's someone listening today that maybe they're going back to God, but their spouse isn't. What do they do? You know, it sounds wonderful. You both went back to the Lord, and as you reclaim that relationship with God, your relationship grew, and you lived happily ever after. That sounds wonderful, but what if only one of the partners goes back?
Well, it has to start somewhere, and this began with me. I realized that as the head of the home, I had to take the lead. And I could not directly work on the marriage, because we had done that. I had majored in psychology, majored in religion at a church-related college. My father was a pastor. I mean, you would have think I had it all together, right? And so did Kathy, but it wasn't that way. And so I realized this was serious, and I had to begin allowing the Lord to work in my life, in my heart, not on the marriage, but in my life and in my heart. And I began, even while I was studying for the bar in California, which is the most difficult bar exam in the country, and you don't waste time, but I would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and spend an hour in the Word every single morning, and memorizing, meditating on the Sermon on the Mount, particularly the Beatitudes, and allowing God to do a surgical revision or makeover in my own mind and heart. And what Kathy began to realize is that within 30 days, actually, she began to see that there was a change taking place, a definite change taking place in my own mind and heart. So if your spouse isn't necessarily with you in that regard, you have to begin somewhere. Let the Lord begin with you.
It's not about them. It's about you and your relationship with the Lord and letting go of who you think you are, letting go of all your so-called rights and releasing yourself to obey and please your Heavenly Father. And as you do that, you know, the people around you notice a huge difference.
Speaking to what you were saying, Rose, if we were to say or give the impression that at the seventh and eighth year of our marriage, that everything completely turned around and everything was as described in our book, Lasting Love, that would not be true, because life is a journey.
It's still a garden that needs to be tended and
fed and
cultivated.
Every day, every week, every month. And this book actually found its seeds in our 37th year of marriage. And it was at that time that after all these years, and we had even done marriage seminars up and down the state of California. Unbelievable. God has a sense of humor. But but then the Lord revealed to us, began with me again, as the head of the house, there were things that were missing. And here I was conducting ministry as a pastor, doing a national radio program every single day. Again, you would think I would have it all together. But there were things that I did not comprehend viscerally in my own mind and heart. And at the 37th year of our marriage, this began to unfold, this motto of seven key factors that are so essential, you can't do without them. Seven, so we decided at the 50th year of our marriage, we wanted to leave a legacy. We wanted to share something that would change the hearts and lives of everyone in our sphere of influence. And that's where the book, Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success, came from.
Now, I don't want to give any secrets away just yet, because I need to know, did you have children?
We have three daughters, and we have 10 grandchildren, ages 6 to 23.
So.
And they've seen, they've seen us discuss things in passion. They've seen us snuggle and kiss and hold hands. And our grandson, who's 23, that's what he wants. That's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
And it's just it's fun to see the grandkids recognize the joy in our marriage.
So it was after they had grown up, after 37 years of marriage, that you finally figured it out.
Well, no, not really. We were doing marriage retreats and a lot of marriage counseling. And then, you know, whenever you're counseling others, you're learning yourself. You know what to do. You just forget. And it's like this is what God gave us. And so we have laminated this and we stick it all over the house so that our eyes see it. And it reminds us, just like God says to be in his word morning, noon, and night, we have to make a conscious effort to pursue one another, to seek one another out.
You're starting to reveal the secrets now, okay. Kat. Be careful.
Yes, we're going to reveal the secrets.
But secrets aren't always to maintain, be kept secret.
Yeah.
The whole idea is there's an allure there.
We're going to tell some of the secrets.
Oh, we will.
We will tell some of the secrets, but we're not going to tell all of the secrets, because We do want our listeners to go to saveus.org, and we want them to read Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. We want them to embrace it. I don't know of any marriage that can't benefit from these secrets.
That's right.
So we're going to take a break right here, and then when we come back, we're going to reveal some of the secrets. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. I'm here with Chuck and Kathy Krismeyer, and they are sharing with us some of the secrets for an enduring and happy marriage. In fact, their book is called Lasting Love, Enduring Secrets for Marital Success. And we're going to share some of the secrets. We're going to start right now. So the number one secret, maybe, or the number one secret in your book.
Well, everybody's into secrets, you know that. Or mysteries. Yeah, yes. We all love a mystery. And so it's not as if these are totally secret, but they become secret to us if we don't understand them and operate in them. And so the first one was probably the most important one of all, and that is the revelation, I believe the revelation from the Holy Spirit, of the importance of an attitude of gratitude. Rose, I cannot overstate, neither one of us can overstate the importance of gratitude. And up till that time, I didn't comprehend it. Here I'm teaching the word, I'm a pastor, I'm on the air every single day, we're doing marriage counseling and so on, and we still haven't comprehended some of the most elementary things that need to be comprehended. So when we understood this attitude of gratitude, that it's the foundation, it's the groundwork for everything else that God would have to do in and through our lives, and when that began to happen, I began to see Kathy differently. I began to be grateful for her, and grateful to the Lord, and it that attitude spread into every one of our relationships so that it became part of our whole ministry together. And when I began to express gratitude, what happened to you, sweetheart?
Well, I felt loved. All yeah. of a sudden, it's like arms wrapped around me.
Yeah.
And every woman needs to feel loved and accepted. We all do. And as, when you decide that this is the person you want to marry, it's basically, you make me feel better about myself than mm-hmm. anybody else that I've met. Mm-hmm. And then life sets in and it gets diverted. So it takes up a conscious effort to show gratitude.
Did you notice a specific difference when the Lord began to reveal that?
Now, I wondered, what has he been reading? Where is he getting this?
Was one of you more negative or than the other?
It wasn't
more
a matter of being negative. It was a matter of just not recognizing and appreciating. I didn't feel like I was a part of this because he was focused on what he was doing. And
his work was very important.
A lot of ministry wives feel that way. Yes. I knew that he loved me, but I wanted to feel that love. And that's what gratitude, words of gratitude, and it can't be manipulative. And it's not phony.
Yeah,
it's what he was saying struck a chord in me that it was true.
Well, they say that law is a jealous mistress. But if law is a jealous mistress, ministry is an even more jealous mistress.
Yes.
And that's why 70% of pastors' wives say their marriages are unfulfilled.
Yes.
So gratitude was the groundwork, shall we say. Doesn't the Bible say, in everything give thanks?
Mm-hmm.
For this is the will of God concerning you.
Yeah.
It's the only passage in the whole Bible that specifically says, this is the will of God concerning you. And from there, then it was a matter of considering one another. With an attitude of gratitude, we will consider one another. How can you consider one another if you're not thinking grateful for one another?
Yeah.
And so the whole idea of considering, doesn't the Bible say concerning the body of Christ that we should consider one another to provoke unto love and good works? Well, the marriage is the very elementary element of the church. There is no church without, from God's perspective, it's the husband, the wife, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we have an attitude of gratitude, and that's manifested in considering one another, then the other five elements or secrets begin to flow from that.
So did you find that she began to reflect that gratitude?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that the man is the mirror that the woman reflects off from, or vice versa?
Well, I think initially it should be the man. It should be the husband. God placed men, husbands, in a particular role. It's not a better role. It's a different role. And just as the father was to the son, then the son becomes to us as the bridegroom. And, of course, we know that he's not going to accept a bride with spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. They get rid, Rose, of those spots, wrinkles, or any such thing. And these seven profound secrets, I think, will help us to prepare our own marriages as exemplary right here on this planet as we prepare for the second coming of Christ.
So the gratitude is the first secret, an attitude of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And the second secret is consideration.
Exactly.
I mean, that's like putting, you know, laying down your life for your friend or putting yourself for someone else.
It is. And that
it's
leads
being unselfish.
Exactly. And you're not going to consider one another. So you're not thinking about one another, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to first be thinking about one another, and that's where the attitude of gratitude comes in. You actually are grateful. You're thinking. Your thought processes are completely changed. And if you have an attitude of gratitude, it's hard to be constantly bickering, constantly complaining. That's what kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. They didn't have an attitude of gratitude. They were constant. And you can't trust if you don't have an attitude of gratitude. So that this gratitude thing is so big, it's so huge, and we're finding even 13 years later the increasing significance of it. So you grow in grace, you see. And you grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you grow in your application of that in your own marriage. And it's a beautiful thing when you see that happening. And the garden continues to grow.
Yes, it is. So do you remember like the first time he expressed gratitude? Or
it wasn't that he never said anything that was, a form of gratitude. But he began to focus more on that. And, you know, that just automatically makes you feel better about yourself, that you have value, that you're important to your husband. And then it makes it easier for you. Your love tank gets filled up, and then, you know, you begin to flow in that. When your love tank is empty, and I think that happens in a lot of marriages, you know, at different seasons, you have to come together. And we live in a world of my rights. And when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're saying, I lay down my rights, Father, and I want you to put your Son in my life. And then we choose to obey his word. And when we get married, we're saying, I surrender my rights to you. And we're to love one another as ourself.
But
yes.
That means we have to pursue one another.
And if you are a wife listening to this and you have made a list of all the things you do and put a price tag on it and showed your husband, you know, how valuable you are, you are probably suffering from a depleted...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we only probably have time for secret number 3.
Okay.
But tell us secret number three? And I know that, you know, these really aren't secret, but they when you put them in the relationship you realize, hey, yeah, I've been thanking the Lord for this and thanking the Lord for that, but I certainly haven't been thanking my spouse for anything lately, and I haven't showed any appreciation. Really brings to mind how, you know, we're neglecting our mission field at home.
Right. And of course, our book lays it all out in the context of our 50 years of experience. And so it's very tangible. You can feel it. You can relate to it. So it's not just about laying out these points.
And some days we're better at it than others.
Oh, yeah. Even here at, you know, in this environment, National Religious Broadcasters Convention.
Where is my wife? I told her she should be here
Absolutely.
At this interview.
All right. So with an attitude of gratitude, considering one another, we prefer one another. The Bible says, in honor, preferring one another. That's about the body of Christ, and it begins with our marriages. So it makes it easier if we have an attitude of gratitude, we're considering one another, then we can prefer one another. And let me just get to the next one. It says, pursue one another. We have to pursue. And when we were dating, hey, I drive,
yeah, you were pursuing.
I drive, you know, 20, 30 minutes or whatever just to be with her for 15 minutes. And God wants us to pursue him. He wants us to pursue one another. And when we do that, hey, the garden starts to grow.
So these secrets are certainly not isolated from each other.
No.
They build upon
exactly.
each other.
And, you know, it really builds our relationship with the Lord. We need to do all these things to the Lord, loving him this way. And our marriage on this earth is just for this time period that we're on earth, which is like just a blink of an eye. And this is getting us ready for our marriage to Jesus.
Yes.
And that this is how we massage that relationship with Jesus.
It is the metaphor, the ultimate metaphor. And when we are not happily married, when we are finding fault with each other, that testimony for our children goes away. And that is a sad commentary. So many of us who've been married a long time, you know, we just take our spouses for granted.
Too often.
It's very easy. And if you take your garden for granted very long, it's going to wither away. And even the weeds are going to die.
Wow, even the weeds are going to die. You know, I've often said that in relationships, in a marriage relationship, you have to sit down every so often and take, you know, take into account what's going on and renegotiate the agreement. This is a great book.
Thank you.
For bringing a revitalizing force back into that relationship. Well, I'd like to close the show. Do you have one verse or word of encouragement for our listeners?
Well, our greatest word of encouragement would be that in order to apply this in its most effective way, we began at the same period of time, 37 years ago, to promise, commit, vow to one another that we were going to spend quality time in the Word together, not separately, but together. So we set our calendar, we readjusted our schedule to get up at a certain period of time, to go to bed at a certain time, to enable us together to spend quality time in God's Word every single day, whether we're on vacation, no matter what. That's what we do. It's our ultimate priority. We establish everything around that. Nothing will interfere with that. And it has been like magic.
Amen. Amen. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.